He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Week in Review Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a fee-based only investment advisory firm. I've been a fee-based money manager for the last 23 years, and now Gunderson Capital is a nationwide virtual firm. We went virtual way before COVID and other firms had to go virtual. I just find that it's a much more efficient way of running a business and meeting with people and keeping up relationships and all this and that. Well, let's just stop the market this past week. You're probably a little consolidation. We've had four or five straight weeks of up market, and it's been pretty strong. And, eventually the markets have to consolidate a little bit. You've come a pretty long ways in a short period of time. And, of course, things started to turn around about 5 or 6 weeks ago. We pretty much called the bottom in the market after that big sell-off that we had for the first half of 2022. We saw the NASDAQ go down 34% during that period of time, and the S&P 500 went down about 23%. And I think you can blame it mostly on the Fed and rising interest rates, which contract P.E. multiples. And you saw the highest P.E. ratio stocks get hurt the most, and, of course, the bond market, which does not do in a rising interest rate environment. So where are we now in the markets? So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show, Week in Review, with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, professional money manager for the last 23 years. And I've got Barry Kite, who is excellent on the macroeconomics. He is a chartered financial analyst and a certified financial planner, a very good, potent combination. And we write regularly for Seeking Alpha, one of the biggest websites in the world for financial news. And we're ranked in the top 2%, 1%, somewhere in there, depending on the week, out of 8,200 writers for Seeking Alpha. You can find our articles that we write, about two a month, I would say, three a month, either on individual stocks that we've found or on our big market calls. We made a very bold market call back in February of 2020, the COVID year. We said all in right around March 26th of 2020. We said that this market has bottomed. We're seeing a bottom being formed, and we're seeing the earnings picture really not weakened that much by COVID, and it's time to go in with guns blazing, and we did. And we had a phenomenal 2020. And then the Fed started to go on the prowl and started to warn about raising interest rates. Interest rates have been falling for the last 40 years. Okay, that's quite a long time. And all of a sudden you've got a sea change. That's a big change. You know, when you've got something that's been going down for 40 years, all of a sudden it starts to turn up.
You got to retrain that muscle memory.
Boy, 40. Yeah, I'm just used to the bond market going up every day. Okay. Well, you know what? All good things must come to an end. That 40 years of falling interest rates, and of course, extremely loose Fed for the last 10 years, especially during COVID. I mean, they threw gasoline on the fire, and out of that came inflation, which is still not tamed yet. But the Fed's mandate is to keep inflation around 2 or 3%. Right now it's running at about 9 or 10%. And therein lies the biggest reason they continue to raise interest rates. And, of course, they're trying to create a soft landing wherein, as interest rates go up, the economy doesn't crash and burn. We are seeing some weakness in the economy. I would point first to probably the real estate market, housing starts, new home sales, mortgages. Interest rates have gone up, taking a lot of people out of the market. Home prices have definitely peaked several months ago. They're starting to come down. Homes are sitting longer and longer on the market. They're not getting the auctions and the wild bids of people trying to buy a select property. So we've definitely seen quite a bit of damage done in the housing market. There's been a lot of damage done to the bond market. Maybe that will abate for a little while, but those rising interest rates are not good for fixed income investments. They cause them to go down in value, and we've seen that in the bond market. We're not fans at all of bond funds. And then the third place you saw some extreme damage, the high PE, the highest of the high, really, PE stocks, and it went down into the next tier and the next tier, and finally the market bottomed. The NASDAQ went down 34% during that period of time. But the high PE ETFs and mutual funds like ARK funds, they went down over 50%, and now they're down about 70% from their highs. And that's because when interest rates go up, PE multiples contract. And the higher the PE multiple, the bigger the contraction. You've had some huge, you take a look at some of these Rivians of the world, Teladocs of the world, they have just been hammered here over the last 12 months. We don't favor that area of the market either. We've been out of that for about a year and a half. But there's still good areas of the market. We've just had a really good run in the market here. I'm not saying it's over, but I think it's starting to cool off just a little bit as we run into some resistance here from a technical point of view. And things look to be a little bit overbought right now. But there's still some good areas of the market now. Here we are with 3.5 months to go. And for the year, the NASDAQ is down about 17, 18, 19%, something like that, year to date. The S&P is down around 11% year-to-date, and the Dow is down about 7%. You see, it has lower P-E ratio stocks, so it did not get hit as hard as the higher P-E NASDAQ stocks. The small caps are down about 8% so far this year. The emerging market's down about 16%. You've got the bond market itself, just U.S. Treasuries, just a simple plain vanilla U.S. Treasury ETF down about 10% on the year. The big winner this year has been crude oil up 20%, and certain areas of the market. Of course, the energy stocks have had a very good year. And let's not forget those inverse funds. If the NASDAQ is down 18%, then the inverse version of the NASDAQ, the PSQ, is up 18%. That's how the inverse funds work. They have an exact inverse relationship with either the sector or the index or even the stock that they mimic. Okay, well, we've had a lot of news this past week. When we come back, I want to focus. It's really been a week about the consumer, Barry, and I want you to gather your thoughts for the second half or second quarter of the show about what we witnessed this week between the retail sales, Target, Walmart, Lowe's, Home Depot, Kohl's, today Ross Stores. The consumer drives the economy. Are these rising interest rates starting to hit the consumer, or will that resilient consumer continue to open up their wallets even though they're not as fat as they used to be.
And that's something we've been able to count on for an extended period of time.
So. Yes. I mean, if the consumer fails and starts to tighten up, then we're in trouble. We already know that we've had two quarters of negative GDP growth, which equals the technical terms of a recession. Will it be short-lived? Will we come out of it? Will the consumer continue to consume? A lot of that depends, of course, on inflation. You know, as inflation goes up, there's less money, you know, or there's less groceries in the basket. Some things just have to be passed by. And as it costs more to fill up the car, there's less money to go around for some of the discretionary consumer spending. We'll talk about that when we come back. And some of the areas that we like in the market at this point in time. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, we have people that listen to us from all over the world, actually. And the newsletter that I produce every weekend for the last 23 years goes out all over the world. I've talked to people in Lebanon. I've talked to people in Israel. I've talked to people in Germany. A lot of Canadians.
we got a note from Denmark this morning or late last night, one or the other. So.
Ah, good. You know what? Yeah. So people wonder, who are these guys? Like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. I remember Paul Newman and Robert Redford. They were being tracked by a couple of guys. Who are these guys? Who are these guys? Because they were right on their tail for a long time. Well, you know, I've been in the business for 23 years. I started out, I was an analyst writing up research reports, so I have a pretty good handle on valuations of companies and growth and the kind of products that they have and the kind of market share that they have, this kind of thing. And then, you know, I liked managing money. That was my real true love. So I've been a fee-based money manager. I was based in San Diego. For a long time, about 15, well, I was there most of my life, and my business was there, and I was on local San Diego radio. I started going nationwide, 2008, somewhere in there, about 14 years ago, 15 years ago, and now our show is heard in many markets across America. And we go to those markets. Now, COVID kind of set us back a little bit, but we do have plans to go to Sarasota before Thanksgiving, somewhere in there. I'm waiting for a date from my team to visit Sarasota. Then we're going to get out to Michigan, one of the new markets we're in the Detroit area, early March, April, somewhere in there, and then to Minnesota at some point after that. I am based in South Carolina, in Charleston, South Carolina, which is a charming area to live. There's some pretty good fishing here. You know, California, I did a lot of fishing there growing up. Out here, it's a little different. It's a lot better, that's for sure. Right now, I live on one of the main rivers that feeds into the harbor in Charleston and then out to the ocean. Man, the shrimp are thick in the rivers right now. And, of course, when the shrimp come in, guess what follows right behind them? The sea trout and the flounders and the crabs, the blue crabs, and, of course, the big redfish, one of the great game fish in the world. So that's where I'm located. Our back office, our staff, we have staff in Georgia. Just north of Atlanta, and we have staff out in Scottsdale, Arizona, where we've also had our show heard. We're virtual. Okay, you don't have to come in. That was that. I did that for a long time. I had a big office in downtown San Diego in a tower on the 19th floor. See all over the harbor, the ocean, clear down to Mexico, etc. Parking was tough, you know. Traffic was tough. The commute back and forth was time-consuming. So I'm just a lot more efficient having a virtual office. And, of course, we were positioned well when the COVID came along. And, you know, we service our clients. For one thing, they can call us anytime. They get a newsletter from me, a direct newsletter from me about the entire market, my internal research, every week. So they know exactly what I think about the market, what my plan is, what I'm buying, what I'm selling, why I'm not buying, why I'm not selling, or whatever the case may be. We have our radio show Monday through Friday, which you can find on any of the podcast sites, Best Stocks Now, Bill Gunderson, or we upload these shows every day to, or we upload them to our website, GundersonCapital.com. It's a one-hour show. It's hard-hitting. Man, this last week we talked about electric boats. We talked about floating rigs off of Finland to help with the pipeline that's been shut off to Europe and their tremendous energy crisis. We've talked about retail, sales, the consumer, etc. And you know what? You know what it all boils down to in the market if you really make it simple? It boils down to earnings, okay? How much in the way of earnings are these companies producing? Are earnings growing? Well, do you know what earnings have been doing since 2009 at the S&P 500? They've been growing. And that's why the S&P 500 has been going up. The only down year was the COVID year. Markets and stocks and indexes trade on earnings, but even more importantly than that, they trade on earnings expectations, what we're expecting earnings to be this year, next year, and the year after that. That's what drives the market. Interest rates drives the bond market. Earnings drives the stock market. What are the earnings looking like for this year, next year, and the year after that? Well, you know what? That's the most important page in the newsletter that I produce every single week. And you can get 2 free weeks. I only send out my newsletter to our clients and to our subscribers. We have a lot of do-it-yourselfers that follow us. I'll bet the people from Denmark were do-it-yourselfers, right, Barry, that manage their own accounts and portfolios, and they love to listen to me. I invented a ranking system, beststocksnowapp.com. That ranks over 6,000 stocks, ETFs, mutual funds on a daily basis. That is invaluable. That's my invaluable tool. You can take anything else away from me, but don't take away my spreadsheet and my app that ranks all these stocks, because it points me in the right direction every day and it keeps me out of the troubled areas of the market. Usually there's only about 5 to 10% of the market that's really vibrant and working and thriving. That's why we call this show Best Stocks Now. Now, real quick, Barry, we had a big week with retail. Where are we at right now with the consumer? Can the consumer keep spending?
And it was a bit of a certainly a mixed bag this week in terms of the economy, and the Fed minutes kind of even referenced that too. But from a spending standpoint, yeah, I mean, retail sales were flat this week or this month, so 0%, no growth at all versus 0.8% the month prior. And you know, you look at that, and is that a good thing or a bad thing? Well, if you look at what folks were spending on, well, they were able to, spend less on gas and auto sales were another, kind of the two items that were that folks spent less on. And so, of course, as gas prices go down, we expect to see that. But it's really. The consumer, as you've mentioned, we've talked about a lot, the consumer's really, kind of floated the world economy for an extended period of time. So paying close attention to them is something that's important for us, and we'll get into some of the retailer reports that came out earlier this week. But you know, keep an eye on that consumer because they're the, you know, they're really the American consumer is really fueling our economy and the world economy in general.
Yeah, and speaking of fueling, we'll talk a little bit about the energy stocks because that's where the energy in the market has come from this year. Where is oil headed? How about those energy stocks? Are they still a good buy? We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show, Week in Review. The most important lesson that I have learned in my 23 years in the market is that the indexes and stocks follow earnings. When earnings expectations and earnings start to peak and start to decelerate and even starting to flatten out and go down. I'm talking about the IBMs and the AT&Ts and the Altrias of the world. Not good to own stocks that aren't growing their earnings anymore. And the same goes for the indexes. What's the very best indicator? Let's just take the S&P 500, just the index, the ETF SPY, SPY, the 500 large companies that make up our S&P 500 index, which is probably the most watched and most, I mean, you're going to compare how a stock is doing, how a mutual fund is doing. Normally, you would compare it against the S&P 500. The very best indicator is not moving averages or Bollinger Bands or, you know, all the different indicators that are out there. The most important indicator is earnings. And not only earnings, but earnings forecast, earnings expectations. That's why when you see a company miss their expectations, the stock goes down. Stocks are trading on those expectations. Now, let's put it into perspective. The S&P 500 back in 08 and 09 went through the big financial crisis. The S&P went down 53%. Earnings collapsed. Earnings went down about 53%. And you could have seen it in the years leading up to 08 and 09. In early 2007, earnings topped out and the expectations started to drop. Because there was nervousness about the credit markets and the amount of debt that the banks and the lenders and the mortgage companies had taken on and the quality of that debt.
And then the in future bank write-offs were what actually hurt their EPS numbers. On the
yes, and it rippled all through the economy. It did not just impact Countrywide Financial and Merrill Lynch and Lehman Brothers and Bear Stearns, but it really impacted the entire a section of the market, and S&P 500s, all the sectors of the market were impacted, and the S&P, we went into the Great Recession, the worst recession. It never got to a depression, unless you were laid off, then it was a depression. If your neighbor was laid off, it was just a recession, but anyways, it was not good, okay, and earnings for the S&P 500 got down to $55 per share. That was the aggregate earnings for the S&P 500. And the average multiple over time has been in the 16 to 18 range, so you had an S&P which was worth about 7 to 900, and that's where it went. It got down to 660. And then all of a sudden, earnings bottomed in March of 09. The market bottomed in March of 09, and earnings expectations started to pick up. Those bad loans started to work their way through the system. The TARP funds, the bailout funds started to work, and the economy started to grow again, and earnings started to grow. How much did they grow? Well, go back to 09, $55 per share, okay? Where are we at today? This year, we're looking at about $225 per share. So earnings have gone up over fourfold during that period of time. And, of course, the S&P 500 has also gone up fourfold, or even a little bit more than that, because we even got a little bit of expansion in the multiple. Instead of 16 to 18, we got as high as 23, 24 when the easy money, when the COVID money was being spread around like butter like on a piece of toast, you know. Oh, my gosh. And that's created this inflationary environment we're in. So earnings went from 55 to 220, and the market went from 660 to over 4,500 during that period of time, the S&P. Well, okay, that's in the rearview mirror. So now we've got to look ahead to next year and the following year. And we do have estimates. We track them every single week. All of these 500 companies, for instance, this past week we had earnings from Home Depot, Lowe's, Target, Kohl's, and Walmart. Okay, they're all in the S&P 500. So as they reported earnings, they also gave guidance for coming years and quarters. And that all plays into the aggregate S&P 500 number. Then we multiply that by a multiplier based on the interest rate environment we're in right now, which is hotter than it was before. So we're not going to get back to a 24 multiple like we did before, or a 23 multiple, unless the Fed cranks up the printing presses again. The multiple is going to remain in that 16 to 18 area. So we watch for those earnings, we adjust them every week, and that's how we make our macro calls, okay? Now, the second part of that equation is we watch the charts. I look at 1,000 charts a day, okay? Just I look at the top-ranked stocks. I look at all the stocks I own. I look at all of the sectors of the market to see where the strength is. And, of course, you know, we went through a severe sell-off. The market started to sell off last November as the Fed started rattling its sabers about hiking rates. The multiple started to contract, and the NASDAQ went down 34% from November till about June of this year. The good news is the earnings picture never deteriorated at all. It was just the multiple. It was the PE that contracted. The earnings picture still looks pretty good. Okay, and then in our newsletter, we said, hey, we're starting to see a bottom. Of course, during that sell-off, we protected ourselves. You know, we still went down. Everybody's going to go down when the NASDAQ goes down 34%. But we smoothed out the ride considerably with inverse funds that went up when the market went down. And we were also heavily invested in commodities like oil and gas and other areas of the market that were benefiting from the inflationary and the supply chain period that we went through. So we were very, very on the defense. You can't have your offense on the field at all times. We were on the defense. Then about June of this year, I started to see the market pull bottom. I started to see the multiple get to under 15 or 16, down from 24. And, you know, we said, hey, there's a bottom here in the market. It's time to go back in. And the market's done pretty well over the last. We've had five straight weeks of an up market. Now we're starting to consolidate. We've gone really far, really fast. And we've had earnings season is now over. It's behind us. Now we're looking ahead. We're kind of in a quiet period in the market. But there's areas of the market we still don't like. High PE, you know, forget about it. The ARC funds and the high PE stocks, not a good place to be.
And if you're paying a premium at the, you know, from a multiple standpoint, you know, it better be in the right industry, right?
Yes, one that's really growing. I mean, right. We mentioned AMD, for instance, which is still at a fairly reasonable PEG ratio, and a few others, analog devices, et cetera, that are trading at like 17, 18 times, but they're growing at 25, 30%. So they're trading at a discount to their multiples. We still like the energy stocks. You know, I mean, look, there's a war on fossil fuels. Whether you're for them or against them, governments around the world, including our government, is making it very difficult on the fossil fuel energy. You know, they want a renewable future, but there's a problem. It takes a long time, and there's really not enough renewable energy out there to fuel the world economy. So the fossil fuels, whether you like them or not, they're going to be around for a long time, but there's always going to be a tight supply now, and there's going to continue to be demand. There's not a lot of electric cars out there. I mean, we still have freighters and airports and the military that still need fossil fuel. So we are still invested. We especially like natural gas stocks. Putin shut off the pipeline, okay, to Europe. Europe's going to have a cold winter if they don't figure out. So they're scrambling. Shipping rates are going through the roof on getting fossil fuels over to Europe. So there's still remains some very good areas of the market. But, you know, it's kind of a stock picker's market right now. And that's what we do. Okay, when we come back, we're going to talk about a few other areas of the market that look favorable and some areas, some neighborhoods to stay out of still, all right? We'll be right back.
You got to go where you want to go. Do what you want to do.
Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now Show Week in Review. There's one other concept here. You know, we consider ourselves to be active money managers. We're not passive. We don't put you into a pre-designed asset allocation, a bunch of mutual funds based on your age, and then just tweak it a little bit according to your age as you get older. That's kind of the route a lot of the big firms took along the way over the last many years. I never drank the passive Kool-Aid. Not that I'm day trading or in and out of positions all the time, but I do believe that, you know, as times change, as things change, there's a lot more that impacts the way you should be invested than just your age. What happens when, you know, for instance, all of a sudden interest rates start to go up after 40 years? That's a sea change. That makes it that puts the wind in your face, a strong headwind, if you're in bond funds. It makes bond funds a not a good place to be, or any kind of fixed income or things that are sensitive to rising interest rates.
And we don't really use the word rebalancing around,
no.
around here. It's you know, it's really the, you know, the market, the names we want to own, right? That really kind of dictates how active, you know, how active we need to be.
Yeah, and a good example, I mean, in 2020, the COVID year, with everybody at home and I couldn't leave the house, all this easy money being thrown around the market. It was a great year for the really kind of speculative edge end of the market. You know, I use Kathy Wood's ARK fund as a proxy for that. Yeah, she was up like 90, maybe even 100% that year. We had a huge year with our really aggressive portfolios and our more conservative ones. It was really a time to kind of let it all hang out and be out there a little bit on the really aggressive side of the market with you had dirt cheap interest rates, zero. The Fed was giving money away. And then all of a sudden in spring of last year, about a year and a half ago, as the Fed started to rattle their saber, okay, if you were a passive investor, you would have kept buying, you know, Bitcoin and Bed Bath & Beyond and, you know, just these frontier stocks, electric vehicles, you know, lithium stocks, cloud stocks. That's where it was at, cybersecurity in 2020. But really the whole world started to change in the investing world with the Fed going on the war path. for the first time in a long time, and I mean really serious about it. And when inflation started to come in, interest rates started to really shoot up. And it was time to make some major adjustments. It was time to lower your risk. It was time to go from high PE stocks down to lower PE stocks. Dividend stocks started to come back in style. And anything that benefited from inflation, commodities, just went crazy. A lot of those commodity ETFs, which had been dead for years because we haven't had any inflation for years, for 40 years, and now all of a sudden it was back in the equation. So that's what I mean by being active. And we had a lot of people, you know, as we do our show, we had a lot of people earlier this year. There were some horrible weeks and days in the market, just horrible. Really horrible, down 700 points, down 1,000 points. And their manager wasn't doing anything about it, you know, just stay the course, blah, blah, blah. And you know, a lot of people came to us during that period of time because at least we were putting in defensive measures. Look, I've been through the NASDAQ that crashed by 80% in the year 2000. I don't ever want to see clients' accounts go down 80%. I was in 2008-09, saw the S&P go down 53%. So you got to put in some kind of safety net, you know, like a trapeze artist. There's got to be a safety net underneath you so you don't take that big plunge because that is hard to recover from. So we started putting in inverse funds as hedges. We started raising cash, not letting stocks drop too much, and focusing on other areas of the market like energy and commodities. And then, you know, things started to get a little better after the big major sell-off, and we started putting money back to work in the market, but not back in that highfalutin area of the market. That's over. That was over in 2020. Look at Bitcoin. It's gone. That's another proxy for risk assets. It's gone from 66,000 down to 22,000. You know, that's a really good proxy to tell you that, hey, it's not time, and it may be a long time before those really high risk assets come back into favor. This has been a really good year for the dividend paying stocks that are short-term in duration, not long-term in duration, like a Rivian or some of these other speculative stocks that are out there. So anyways, we had a lot of people, always we're having people transferring portfolios to us for us to manage. Barry, he goes through all of your holdings and looks at where you're at in life. And where you fit amongst the different portfolios that we manage. We usually mix, blend several of the portfolios together, depending. Of course, the younger you are, the more aggressive you can be. And the older you are, the little tighter rein we got to put on things. So you can give us a call for a portfolio review at 855-611-BEST. You don't got to drive downtown to some big fancy building and fight traffic and fight for a parking spot. Or you can begin by getting the newsletter that I put out every week. I'm polishing it off as we speak. Finish it up here after the show and be mailing it out. So, or not emailing it out. I used to mail a few, not anymore. That's a long time ago. Anyways,
that's a lot of paper on
you couldn't do it anymore. Right. No, go to GundersonCapital.com and we'll set you up for 2 free weeks of the newsletter. You can look at the portfolios that we manage and what's in them currently. We still hold quite a bit of cash, at the same time, we have a lot of holdings also. GundersonCapital.com or 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.